Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Nankin, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Allegra Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We want to cover a lot of territory on the program this week, or several subjects, and I hope we'll be able to give you a clear idea of where we stand on these subjects. One of them is the deal between Israel and Bahrain, Bahrain being an Arab Muslim Nazi oil-rich Persian Gulf country. And Israel and Bahrain are going to establish diplomatic relations, and the whole thing is part of the same series of diplomatic disasters that Donald Trump, Jared Kushner, and Bibi Netanyahu are imposing upon the people of Israel, endangering Israel's very survival. Two deals like this in the past month alone, Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates. And Israel is paying some heavy price just to have diplomatic relations with these two Nazi countries that want to destroy the Jewish people. It's all a hoax, and they want to destroy the Jewish people. We're going to discuss that. And we're also going to discuss how this demonstrates, along with the building freeze on Jewish settlements in Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem that Bibi has had in effect, that Bibi Netanyahu has had in effect for 11 years now. 11 years now he doesn't allow Jews to build in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. Bibi is worse than the left. Bibi is worse than Benny Gantz. Benny Gantz is his defense minister, and he's supposed to be on the left, Benny Gantz. And we're going to explain to you how as bad as Benny Gantz is, and he's terrible, and the left is terrible, but as bad as he is and as bad as the left is, Bibi and the phony right are even worse than the left. Even worse than the left. Let's start off with this latest announcement, the second one in the past month, that Israel now is going to have diplomatic relations with Bahrain and with the United Arab Emirates, two Arab Muslim Nazi countries in the Persian Gulf who have always openly been committed to the destruction of Israel, to the extermination of the Jewish people. They have spent billions of dollars financing every Muslim terrorist organization under the sun. They have rivers of Jewish blood on their hands. Their hands are drenched with the blood of innocent Jewish men, women, and children, and by the way, of other non-Muslim men, women, and children, because they've supported Islamic terrorist groups that have slaughtered Christians and Hindus and Buddhists, and you name it, because they want to exterminate all non-Muslim infidels. That's what the Quran commands them to do. And these two countries now are signing a deal with Israel that enables them to buy up huge segments of the Israeli economy and Israeli technology. In other words, the Jewish geniuses in Israel who create very advanced technology, advanced weapon systems and other advanced technology, this Jewish brain power that you have in Israel and that's being used supposedly to create things for the Israeli economy, instead their companies and their brains are going to be bought up by Israel's Arab enemies. And by the way, there's no, you know, these countries, not only have they murdered large numbers of Jews by financing Islamic terrorism and by financing wars against Israel for decades, they have media, news media, that openly praise the Holocaust, that praise the extermination of the Jews during the Holocaust, that call for another Holocaust against the Jews. Their media do this. They finance propaganda all over the world calling for the extermination of the Jewish people. And now they're saying to Israel, well, we're willing to have diplomatic relations with you, and we want you to protect us against Iran. They want Israel to temporarily, they want Israel there to protect them against Iran. They're willing to sign a temporary agreement to get Israel to protect them and deal with the Iranian situation. But what a price Israel has to pay for these diplomatic relations. They're demanding that Israel freeze all Jewish building, continue the freeze on all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem is the lifeblood of the Jewish state. The Jewish people can't breathe. Talk about coronavirus and choking. The Jewish people can't breathe unless they can build. If they don't build in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, they're going to lose all of these areas. And Bibi Netanyahu knows that, and he wants to surrender these areas. Bibi Netanyahu is a traitor who wants to surrender Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, and has always believed in a so-called Palestinian state. He openly said so. He openly made a speech saying that he believes there has to be a so-called two-state solution, meaning that Israel has to surrender her biblical heartland. Israel has to go back to borders that are 6 to 9 miles wide. Israel has to surrender even parts of the pre-1967 Jewish state in the Negev. Israel has to create this nightmare scenario where all of Israel, will be under Arab artillery fire, will be under Arab missile fire. The Israeli airport will be meters and feet away from Arab terrorists who will be able to shoot down every Israeli plane. And all of Israel will be converted into what we have now in Sderot. In Sderot, this is the town that is near Gaza, which Israel surrendered under the Sharon government, and Bibi Netanyahu supported the expulsion of Jews in Gush Katif in Gaza. He was the treasury minister, he financed it, he supported it, he voted in favor of it. Bibi Netanyahu and Sharon gave away this land to the Arab terrorists, to the Hamas terrorists, and now Sderot is under constant Arab artillery and missile fire. I mean, the town doesn't have a moment of peace. All of Israel is going to be like that. It will destroy Israel's economy almost overnight. All of Israel will be put in that situation if we have a so-called Palestinian state. And of course, I just have to mention, because I'm using that evil phony term Palestinian, okay? There is no Palestine. There are no Palestinians. Until the 1960s, the Arabs themselves always insisted there is no such thing in history as Palestine or Palestinians. The Arabs themselves called this Arab land. They called themselves Arabs. They said there are no Palestinians, there is no Palestine. The Arabs themselves always said that. Then in the 1960s, they decided, Jewish leftists, self-hating Jewish traitors and leftists in Israel, convinced them to use this to adopt the term Palestinians and Palestine, and use it as a propaganda device to destroy Israel. But there has never been a Palestine in history. There's never been a Palestine state. There has never been a Palestinian people. Never, at any time in history. In any event, and by the way, even the leftist Jewish leaders, even left-wing Jewish leaders like Golda Meir and David Ben-Gurion always said there's no such thing as a Palestinian people, because there never was. The whole thing is a complete fraud, a complete hoax. Despite that, they want to surrender the biblical heartland of Israel. I mean, where do you get a country? After 2,000 years, miraculously returns to their biblical homeland. Millions of Jews were burned in gas during the Holocaust, dreaming of a return to the Jewish homeland, and now they want to just hand it over to their enemies who openly say they're going to destroy them. I mean, where do you get a people that is so insane? So insane. And this people survives thousands of years when huge empires, 100 times their size, disappeared thousands of years ago. And this people survives through everything. And this crazy people, the crazy Jewish people, win wars in just 6 days. Israel quadruples in size. 10 of ye shall chase 1,000 of them, it says in the Bible. 100 of ye shall chase 10,000 of them. And all of this happened in our time, in 1967, 1948. We saw this happen. Israel, outnumbered 100 to 1, quadrupled in size in just 6 days. And this crazy people, this insane, suicidal, masochistic, demented people, the Jewish people, they survive. They survive. And they survive against forget all odds, the most completely impossible odds. And people read the prophecies in the Bible saying this is going to happen, and still you don't believe, and still you don't know that that the recreation of Israel is the hand of God, and the resurrection of Israel, and the return of the Jews after 2,000 years to their ancient homeland, and the rebuilding of the land, and the miraculous victories, that this is the hand of God. You still don't understand this, and you see Jewish genius in the world, and you see the incredible Jew, this tiny Jewish people influencing the world on a level that's beyond belief, and you still don't see that this is the hand of God? People who don't believe it are not atheists. They're blind. Blind! In any event, here we are with an Israeli economy with very advanced technology. All the Jewish geniuses in Israel creating these technological advances. And now they're going to let all these companies, all these big technology companies and computer companies and weapons companies and who knows what else, the Arabs are going to be able to come in and buy it up. Their Arab enemies are going to come in and buy it up and use it to destroy them. Use it to destroy the people who created it. And who, it's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. You let the Arabs come in. They will buy up all of Israel. They'll buy up the Israeli economy. They'll buy up Israeli technology. They'll buy up Israeli companies. They'll dominate the Israeli stock market because they have far more money because of the trillions of dollars that was given to these Arab robbers, these Arab thieves. And yes, they're thieves, okay? The oil riches they have, they can't even drill a single barrel of oil without the American infidel coming in and the Western infidel coming in teaching them how to do it. They still don't know how to drill a single barrel of oil, and they've made trillions of dollars. It's just unbelievable. America could have been energy independent 50 years ago. Instead, criminal international companies, the oil companies, the oil conglomerates, and other international companies wanted America to be addicted to Saudi oil and Arab oil and Iranian oil and Muslim oil. They wanted this because they make more money when America's addicted to foreign oil and foreign products. And so America's economy was devastated. America's security was devastated. The whole world is put in jeopardy. The Western world is put in jeopardy in order to give more profits to these international corporations that really control the American economy and they control American politics and own the American news media. And so America, because of America and the West's dependence on Muslim Nazi oil exports, these Muslim countries, these oil-rich Muslim countries, acquire trillions and trillions of dollars in oil revenue. And the Israeli, they could easily buy up the entire Israeli economy many times over because of that. And believe me, there are enough greedy people and self-hating Jewish traders in Israel, they'll sell it to them and let them do it. And Bibi Netanyahu is the first one who let them do it. He's bought and sold a long time ago, Bibi Netanyahu. He, to stay out of jail, to stay out of prison because he's been indicted on corruption charges, the corruption charges against him, he's guilty on all of it. And that's not even 1/1000th of the crimes he's committed against the Jewish people. That's nothing. That's child's play compared to the crimes he's committed against the Jewish people. And they will sell out the Israeli economy and sell out all of Israel to these Arab, Arab, Muslim, Nazi countries. They'll buy up Israeli corporations, buy up the Israeli economy, buy up Israeli land, control the Israeli media, buy the Israeli media. They'll control the narrative in Israel. They'll control everything. They'll control Israeli politicians with their money. And then Israel will be stripped bare and have no chance of dealing with this tremendous threat. This is what these deals will lead to. This is what these deals will lead to, God forbid. And so, actually, the dumb Arabs who say, no, you should never make any deal with the Zionist enemy, and never, the dumb Arabs are our best friends. Because these dumb Arabs that say no, make no deals with Israel, they're the ones who threaten. They threaten to kill the clever Arab. The clever Arabs are the ones who say, let's sign a treaty with them, get them to give up land, get them to surrender their security, get them to let us buy up their economy and influence them and corrode them, create corrosion from within. Let us pretend we're making peace with them and we'll destroy them from within. Those are the clever Arabs. Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, those are clever Arabs. Egypt always dreamed of destroying Israel. You have over 100 million Arabs living in Egypt, and they're waiting for the day when Israel is weak enough and they're going to march on Israel's borders to destroy Israel again. They launched Several wars, 1948, 1956, 1967, 1970, the War of Attrition, 1973, the Yom Kippur War. That's at least five wars that Egypt launched against Israel to destroy Israel, openly saying they're going to push the Jews into the sea. The Egyptians openly said that they're going to exterminate Israel and push the Jews into the sea. Now they have a new dictator, Assisi, who plays this double game. His media continues to propagandize against Israel and Jews, and he continues to do everything he can to pressure Israel and work to create diplomatic pressure and squeeze Israel to make suicidal concessions. But when he meets the Jews and meets Israel, oh, we want peace, salam, we want peace. Yeah. So this is, you know, this is part of the little game. This is part of the little game that is being played. And that, you know, in the Quran, Muhammad orders the Muslims, he commands them to deceive the infidel, to deceive them, to lie to them like he did. He signed a treaty. Muhammad signed a treaty with the tribe Quraysh. And then 2 years later, when he was stronger, when he was strong enough, he attacked them and destroyed them and exterminated them. And he and Muhammad sets this up as an example of what Muslims should always do. This is what Muslims are commanded to do. And the clever Muslim, there's no difference in terms of the goals of the clever Muslims in Egypt, Jordan, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates. There's no difference between their goal, their final goal, and the final goal of the Arabs in countries which are not clever, which openly say even in English that they want to destroy Israel. There's no difference in their final goal. Their final goal is to destroy Israel. The Arab world will never accept the existence of a tiny Jewish state in the middle of the Muslim world. Israel is in the middle of the Muslim world. We have a tiny Jewish state in the middle of the Muslim world. The Muslims will never accept the existence of the United States or of Europe. They are commanded in the Quran. Read the Quran. If you don't believe me, read the Quran. And believe me, they believe in the Quran. They do believe in the Quran. They're commanded to conquer the whole world. All of the world has to be Dar al-Islam. And if a country is not Dar al-Islam under the abode of Islam, it's Dar al-Kharb under the abode of the sword, under the abode of war. And so the Muslim world has clever Arabs and clever Muslims and dumber Arabs and dumb Muslims who openly say what they want. The clever ones, the ones that pretend to be for peace and sign agreements and then buy up all your companies and buy up your economy and then use the money to finance Muslim terrorist organizations, the clever ones, and to also to build nuclear weapons, the clever ones are the more dangerous ones. Now, under this agreement that Israel has signed with Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates, not only will this lead to them buying up major portions of the Israeli economy, God forbid, unless something happens to disrupt that, I hope God willing it does, God does something to protect the Jews from their own insanity, but it also will lead to huge weapons deals with the United States, where the Trump administration and Jared Kushner are pushing for huge weapons deals to give the Arabs huge, the most advanced American weapons that Jewish, again, the Jewish brains, most advanced American technology and American weapons are created by Jews. The great weapon systems and technology systems that Jewish brains created, the Arabs are going to be able to buy this and acquire this now. Because they say, well, you shouldn't be afraid to sell us weapons. After all, we signed a peace treaty, we signed peace with Israel, you see? We're not terrorists anymore. We don't want to destroy the non-Muslim infidels anymore, you see? And so they'll get huge, the most, by the way, if they're really for peace, and all the, you know, why are their weapon systems being shared with other Arab countries, and they're all, and by the way, they're not aimed at Iran, the weapon systems. Their weapon systems are aimed at Israel, weapon system from Egypt, for instance, that Egypt buys from the United States. In any event, they'll be able to buy the most advanced weapons from the United States, far more because of this. They'll get Israeli technology and buy up Israeli companies and endanger Israeli sovereignty. And they gave Bibi the excuse he needed, because he was under a lot of pressure already, to end his 11-year freeze on Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. Bibi has not allowed Jews to build in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem for 11 years now, since 2009. There's been a de facto freeze on all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem now for 11 years, while the Arabs build like crazy. The Arabs build illegally all over the Jewish homeland, but the Jews are not allowed to build. If Bibi had not frozen Jewish building, if he had allowed the Jews to build as much as they need, we could have tripled and quadrupled the Jewish population there. We could have had 2 million, 3 million Jews there by now, and there never would have been any chance of surrendering Judea and Samaria and creating a so-called Palestinian state in Israel's biblical heartland. We would have had, for sure, we would have had all of this land as a Jewish heritage forever. But Bibi maliciously, evilly, maliciously and wickedly froze all Jewish building because he doesn't want Jewish sovereignty in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. You know, we have never had a Jewish prime minister. We've never had a prime minister of Israel that has frozen Jewish building in Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Bibi is the first one. We've never had a Jewish prime minister that for 11 years blocks almost every Jewish building project. Bibi is the first one. Even the most left-wing prime minister, Shimon Peres, Ehud Barak, Ehud Olmert, the most left-wing Israeli prime ministers never did. Yitzhak Rabin, they never did this. They never did. They allowed much more building. Things were much better in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem under them than under Bibi. Bibi is worse in every respect than the leftist prime ministers. Not that the leftist prime ministers don't want to do harm to the Jewish settlements and don't want to surrender. But if they do this, if they freeze Jewish building, and if they take moves against the Jews in Judea and Samaria, the Israeli people get hysterical. Like, what? You're endangering Israel's survival. You're leftists. We can't trust you. But if Bibi does it because he's a so-called right-winger, people think, well, if he does it, it must be okay. It can't be bad if he does it. That's why Bibi is so dangerous. What they did in Gush Katif, what Sharon and Bibi did, and Bibi was in 100% with Sharon. He was in on it completely with Sharon. He financed it as the Treasury Minister, and he voted for the expulsion of the Jews in Gush Katif. What Sharon and Bibi did in Gush Katif, the left could never have done. What Menachem Begin did in surrendering all of Sinai, the vast Sinai with all of its oil wells, with all... insane, surrendering all this to Egypt in exchange for a treaty that isn't worth the paper it's written on. Insane. Begin made this surrender. The left could never have done it. The left always was against surrendering all of Sinai. So the phony right in Israel is worse than the left, than the open left, more dangerous than the open left, because most Jews in Israel, unfortunately, are stupid. They are stupid. Just like most Americans are stupid. Most Americans are also stupid. Most Americans, a Republican president like Donald Trump could spend this country into bankruptcy. And because it's a Republican, they're not going to complain about it. When Obama was, Obama's spending. Look how much he's spending. Look at all his spend. Trump, even before the coronavirus, was outspending Obama by 50, 60, 70%. Huge amounts. Way over what Obama was spending. And now with the virus and the payouts that are going out and the over $3 trillion deficit, the deficit this year that's coming up, the fiscal year that's coming up in the United States, will be larger than the size of the entire United States economy. I mean, this is madness. If a Democrat was doing this, if Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton or some Democrat was doing this, or Obama or Bill Clinton, the Republicans would be up in arms screaming and yelling. They'd be saying, how can you, they'd be saying, this is, how can you do something like this? This is, you're destroying the country, you're bankrupting the country. But when a Republican does it, nobody complains. Nobody complains. So the stupidity of people who fall for this, who let the phony right do things that the left could never get away with, makes the phony right in Israel more dangerous than the left. Sometimes in America, the phony right is also more dangerous than the left. Sometimes. In America, it's true also sometimes. So what are we getting now? We're getting direct flights between Bahrain and Israel and between the United Arab Emirates and Israel, which is terrible. So the Jews go there and they think that these people are nice and the Arabs and Muslims. See, Muslims are nice. Arabs are nice. It's wonderful. We have peace. They're being completely disarmed, which is terrible, and completely conned. And in exchange, and in exchange for getting these direct flights, which is supposedly something that's good that the Israelis so desperately want, in exchange for diplomatic relations, which also does not benefit Israel at all, in exchange for this, the Arabs can buy up the Israeli economy, buy huge amounts of weaponry. There's a freeze on Jewish building that's part of the agreement. They have to freeze Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. There's a freeze on Jewish building, which is the lifeblood of the Jewish people, is the heart and soul of the Jewish people. And we move closer and closer to creating a Palestinian state, which would be national suicide for Israel, because that's what Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates are demanding of Israel. They're demanding that they create a Palestinian state. They're demanding that they surrender all the land. They're demanding that they be in agreement to create this state. And Bibi already has accepted Donald Trump's so-called peace plan. And Donald Trump's so-called peace plan calls for the creation of a Palestinian state that will turn Israel into a Swiss cheese nightmare. And you'll have Arab terrorists aiming their rockets and missiles into every Israeli town and city and into the Israeli airport. Israel's economy will be paralyzed and crippled. The country will be indefensible. And Israel will be in boundaries that are 6 to 9 miles wide. Imagine being outnumbered 100 to 1 and being in boundaries that are 6 to 9 miles wide in the Middle East. I mean, this is insanity. This is suicide insanity. Even Abba Ibn in Hebrew, Abba Ibn in English, who was the extreme left-wing foreign minister of Israel in the socialist labor government, even he said that the pre-1967 borders are suicide lines, are Auschwitz lines. Auschwitz, the concentration camp where millions of Jews, where millions of people were murdered. He says that the pre-1967 borders are Auschwitz lines, Holocaust lines, suicide lines. And if that's not enough, we saw this week another example of how bad Bibi is. 5,000 new building units are ready for approval now in Judea and Samaria. 5,000. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You easily could move hundreds of thousands of Jews there very quickly, because there's a demand for housing, and pre-67 Israel is congested, and there's tremendous traffic and tremendous problems, and people want to move. And Judea and Samaria is so beautiful, it's so breathtakingly beautiful. The land of Israel that God gave to the Jewish people is so beautiful. People desperately want to live there. And so this is just the tip of the iceberg, but here you have 5,000 housing units. And Jews have big families, so that means you figure a family has at least 3 or 4 children in Israel, the average family. So you're talking about right there, that's another 20,000, 25,000 Jews under the most conservative estimates, and it's probably more. Because again, a lot of these Jewish settlers have 10, 12, 13 kids per family. Very common. They have the Jews in Judea and Samaria and the religious Jews in Israel have a higher birth rate than the Muslims. So saying 20, that's like moving 20, 25,000 more Jews into Judea and Samaria almost overnight with these 5,000 housing units, and that's a very conservative estimate. It'd probably be even more than that. But anyway, just this week, Benny Gantz, who is the left-wing defense minister, because they have a coalition government between the left and the phony right in Israel, Benny Gantz, the leftist, who's the defense minister of Israel, and he's the leftist, he said he wants to approve it. He says, but Bibi won't approve it. He says, I'm waiting for Bibi's approval. As defense minister, I'm ready to approve these 5,000 housing units right now and move these Jews in right now. I mean, start the building and finish the building up and let tens of thousands of Jews move in there right now, which would give, the more Jews you move in there, the more Jews you place in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, the more difficult it is to uproot all these Jews. If you have too many Jews there, you can't uproot them, and you can't create a so-called Palestinian state. That's the whole idea. You got about 450,000 Jews in Judea and Samaria right now. But 350,000 of them are concentrated into 96 or 90, into just 3% of the land there. 96 or 97% of the land are beyond a wall. Bibi is building a wall to give 96 or 97% of that land away. And there are only 100,000 Jews on the wrong side of the wall. So only 100,000 Jews are there to try to prevent this suicidal surrender and suicidal retreat. And if we had more Jewish building, we could easily double that, triple that, quadruple that easily. And it would be impossible. If you had 1 million Jews living there, it would be impossible to give that land away. And Israel would be saved. Anyway, Benny Gantz, who is also a bad guy, real phony, a leftist, but he's willing to approve this new building, these new building permits, and these 5,000 housing units just this week. This just came up. He says he'll approve it. He said it openly. But he said Bibi's holding it up. What am I going to do? Bibi refuses to approve it. It's Bibi who is preventing this. This pig Bibi. Shem Reshaim Yerkav. May the name of the wicked rot. May Hashem remove him from office. That filthy animal. Him and his whole evil family. And all the stupid, sick Jews who think Bibi's a right winger and Bibi, and they like Bibi. How could you like someone like this? He's worse than the left. He's choking off Jewish settlements. He's drying up Jewish settlements. He is setting Israel up for a so-called Palestinian state, because he knows that if there's a so-called Palestinian state, he can save himself from a prison term, because then the left will defend him and everybody will say, oh, he's a peacemaker, and they won't want to put him in prison. I mean, he would, in 2 seconds, he would sacrifice the state of Israel. He would sacrifice the Jewish homeland in 2 seconds to save his tuchus. His wife said, let all of Israel burn, we'll leave the Jewish state, we'll just leave if we have a problem, we'll let the whole country burn. That's what his wife said once. I mean, this is Sara Netanyahu. I mean, this is the type of evil people these are. He, by the way, he was married, and she was married, and the two of them had an affair, cheating. You know, they were sleeping with each other while they were both married to other people. They were sleeping with each other, and then they divorced. Bibi divorced his prior wife, and Sara Netanyahu divorced her prior husband, and then these two snakes got married. I mean, this is the type of subhuman, immoral scum you have running Israel. And so-called religious Jews support them, and so-called nationalist Jews, and Bibi. Rak Bibi, only Bibi. Rak Bibi in Hebrew means only Bibi. Oh, how sick. Oh, how sick the situation is. And Donald Trump is part of all of this. Donald Trump, you know, when he released his peace plan, the coronavirus struck the United States. When he released his peace plan, that's when the coronavirus struck. Just remember that. And you know, I have to comment on just one other thing in regard to Donald Trump. You know, last week I spoke about how Donald Trump said that American veterans and people gave their lives for the United States, American heroes and veterans, are losers. And he did say it. He said it in front of everybody, in front of cameras. It was on camera when he said it about John McCain. He said, I don't want people who were captured. I want people who weren't captured. In other words, POWs who were captured and tortured by the enemy in Vietnam. They were tortured for their country. He said they're losers. He wants people who weren't captured. Winners like him, he's a winner. I mean, Donald Trump, he's a winner. He got 5 draft deferments. His rich daddy got him out of the draft 5 times with deferments. Deferments. And you know, and he bragged about how he was able to get out of it on the Howard Stern show. He used to brag about it. So he's a winner. In other words, if you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, and you have a rich billionaire daddy that gets you out of these things, then you're a winner. But if you go and sacrifice and want to do something for your country, then you're a loser, which is why he and his sons and his family, none of them ever participated in the military, none of them. None of them. because they think that people participate in the military. What did he call them? He called them losers and suckers. And he did say that. And now we see with Bob Woodward, and Bob Woodward is a bad guy, but Trump is so stupid. Trump does an interview with him. Trump can't keep his big orange mouth shut. Can you imagine Ronald Reagan doing these blunders and tweeting these blunders, or Ted Cruz or Ronald Reagan or a disciplined candidate? Trump goes and does an interview with Bob Woodward where he admits that he downplayed, and uses the word downplayed, the coronavirus danger. He admits it was dangerous. He admits, he said it was very dangerous, much worse than the flu, but I downplayed it because I didn't want to cause panic, he said. He didn't want to cause panic. He didn't want to hurt the economy because it would hurt his reelection campaign. What do you think? What does he think? Everybody was born yesterday? That everybody's that stupid? He was worried about the welfare of the American people? If he was worried about the welfare of the American people, he wouldn't have created Trump University, where he robbed. He stole money from working class people. He took $35,000 in tuition from working class people and gave them nothing and robbed them in Trump University. This is his whole life. He's a thief and a liar and a scoundrel. Anyway, he downplayed the virus danger and admits it and uses that term and even admits it on tape. And admits it. And now he and Jared Kushner are helping Netanyahu create a situation where Israel is going to face this very dangerous prospect of losing their sovereignty, having their country and economy bought up. Very, very dangerous. These deals between Israel and Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates, and the Jews in Israel are thrilled. They're so anxious to get the approval of the Goyim. They're so anxious to be loved by the Goyim and accepted by the Goyim. They're so desperate for this. This is a Jewish obsession. This is a Jewish mental illness. That they'll give up their country, give up anything for that. They're thrilled with this, the people of Israel. It's just, it's insanity. Complete insanity. By the way, we have a video that we're in Hebrew that we're advertising and that we're bringing to the people of Israel, where we're bringing the facts to them and the truth to them. You should know. Jared Kushner, he's the one who freed... Who freed so many thousands of black murderers and criminals. Jared Kushner and Donald Trump freed them. They had what they called sentencing reform. Federal sentencing laws were passed in the 1980s by Joe Biden, by the way. Joe Biden's a phony, he's a fraud, of course, but he passed these laws to show the Democrats are not soft on crime in the 80s. This was in the 80s when Ronald Reagan was president. So he wanted to show the Democrats are not soft on crime, so they passed tough sentencing laws with mandatory minimums. In other words, if you sell drugs, these black, and overwhelmingly they were black criminals selling drugs, they got caught selling cocaine or heroin or crack, they got mandatory minimums of 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, depending on the amounts. They were sentenced to mandatory minimums. The judge had to sentence them to a mandatory minimum amount of time. So large numbers of black criminals were moving into the prison system as a result of this, and many states were pegging their system to the federal system and to the federal guidelines. And so the prison population in the United States doubled from 1 million to 2 million because of this tough new sentencing. It wasn't tough enough. I think that the drug dealers should be given the death penalty because they like mass murderers. But that's besides the point. Black criminals were being taken off the streets in huge numbers, and the crime rate was going down drastically because of this. It was because black criminals were being warehoused, in quotes. That's what they say. You're warehousing black men in prison and ruining their lives. You know, you were taking this scum off the streets, people who sell poison to their own communities, because they were also, not only were they drug dealers, they were also murderers, rapists, burglars, everything under the sun. The people that destroy their own communities and cities and were destroying the country. They were being taken off the streets and put in prison cells. And this created a tremendous improvement in terms of the crime situation. And Obama, Bill Clinton, Bush all wanted to repeal this and wanted to go back to the days when you had lenient sentencing and let all the black criminals go around, sell drugs, and they said selling heroin and cocaine to children is just a nonviolent offense and it's no big deal, and give them a slap on the wrist. They wanted to go back to those days. All these presidents tried. They couldn't get it passed in the Senate or the House. They couldn't get it passed. Donald Trump got it passed. Donald Trump and Jared Kushner got so-called sentencing reform passed. And now black criminals are being let out of prison. Huge numbers of black criminals, violent, drug-dealing scum, are being let out of prison, and the crime rate is going way up because of it. Many of the crimes, many of the serious crimes that are being committed, and many of the serious problems in terms of violence and shootings are from people who were released from the prison system thanks to the so-called sentencing reform that was passed by Trump and Jared Kushner, and they're bragging about it. They're going to black voters and saying, you see, we're the ones that let black people out of prison. We're the ones that were free, that we have liberated black people and let them out of prison. That's some accomplishment. Oh, anyway, and as bad as it all is, you know, I am going to vote for Donald Trump, and I urge people to vote for Donald Trump, because the other side is, despite everything I've said, the other side, on the issue of the Iran nuclear deal, for instance, and certain other aspects, the other side is actually even worse in the United States, not in Israel. In Israel, the phony right is worse than the left consistently. In Israel, the phony right should be defeated. They're worse than the left. Netanyahu is worse than Benny Gantz. Worse. No question about it. Benny Gantz could never get away with what Netanyahu gets away with doing to the Jews in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, to the land of Israel, all these terrible agreements he's making. Gantz could never get away with it. But in the United States, with Republicans and Democrats, sometimes the Republicans are worse, sometimes the Democrats are worse. I think on average, I would think in this case, I think that Biden is worse than Trump. And so I'm still reluctantly urging people to vote for Trump as a lesser of the evils. But remember, lesser of the evils is still evil. Trump is terrible. Biden is terrible. They're both terrible. And the United States of America is in a lot of trouble. And Israel and the Jews are in a lot of trouble, because you see that either Trump, the Jews, and Israel lose, whether it's Trump or Biden in the White House, they lose. The Jews lose because they're both bad for Israel. And the Jews in their administration are the ones you got to worry about. With Jared Kushner, the self-hating Jewish son-in-law, that wimpy self-hating Jewish son-in-law of Trump, he's the problem. He's the problem. He's the one that convinces Trump we can get a deal. You'll be able to say you're a deal maker. And on the other side, Kamala Harris's self-hating Jewish husband, Kamala Harris, she'd be married to a Jew lawyer from San Francisco, and he'd be worth a lot of money. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a problem. He's going to be a real problem, that self-hating Judenrat capo. So this is the situation we're in. The only thing that we have that's positive, after all that I've told you now, the only positive thing I can tell you is, in the end, the good guys are going to win, because God promises that that will happen. God will not allow the bad guys to win completely. But there could be a lot of suffering, God forbid, and a lot of tragedy and a lot of death, and a lot of unnecessary disasters that can occur until then, as punishments, as warnings. A lot of terrible things can happen, God forbid, until then. In the end, the good guys are going to win. In the end, there's going to be a final redemption, and the good guys are going to win. That there's no doubt about. That the prophets, the Nevi'im, the prophets have all promised us. But until that day comes, there could be a lot of horrible tragedy that we want to avoid. So that's our challenge here, to bring the truth in an age of darkness. Again, it was all predicted that this would be a time of darkness. In a time of complete darkness, which the prophets and Chazal are the rabbis in the Talmud, all told us this was going to happen. And it is happening. It's playing out exactly as they predicted. We've got to still be a light in the darkness, and we've got to bring the truth to the people, in order to try to make this a better world, and in order to try to save Israel and the Jewish people first and foremost, and make a difference, a positive difference in the world, which I hope that our message is reaching tens of thousands of Jews in Israel every month, hundreds of thousands every year, are seeing our commercials, our messages that we're advertising. I hope it's getting them at least to think, to at least create a little bit of a new thinking process. How much it influenced, I don't know for sure. But we're obligated to try our best. We're obligated to bring the truth. We're obligated to do everything we can to sound the alarm and bring the truth and try to wake people up and to try to create a situation where someday, there'll be an awakening. Someday people will see the truth, and someday people will understand that our warnings were correct. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world and we can change history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.